with Jesus joy to the household of David again. Let's welcome God's apostle. An apostle to this house.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's hold hands together. I believe I'm not going to do too much of preaching this morning, but I just believe in my heart, like Pastor shared, that God wants to shift us to another level and another dimension in the spirit. It's important for us to be very sensitive. Jacob said, "The Lord was in this place, and I knew not." Sometimes we can be careless with very kairos moments in our lives. Hallelujah. Please lift your voice and pray. Open my eyes, open my heart. Let your mercy locate me. Let your grace rest upon me. Is someone praying? Lift your voice and pray. Father, I'm tired of this level. This is a messy conference. There is no excuse. There is no reason why I should be at the same level. Is someone praying? Spiritually, you have encompassed this mountain long enough. Financially, in your influence, let there be proof that I met you. Let there be proof that my tarrying upon this mountain was worth the while. It's time to visit my family. It's time to visit my destiny. Someone pray. Skibalo shabratas kadabalako shadebas. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life will change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. Prophesy to yourself. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change. I will never be the same. My life must change. I will
never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change.
This song, listen please. This song is not a special number. It's a testimony is what can happen to a man when you really encounter the mercy and the grace of God. That your life can turn around. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. He said, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then he says, turn again our captivity. Turn again our captivity. Someone turn it into prayer. Lord, change things. Change things. Change things. New testimonies. I encounter your mercy and I encounter your grace. Let things change. Let things turn around. I can never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life will change.
I can never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life must change.
Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Psalms 102 and verse 13. Please keep standing and let's read together. Psalm 102. Truly, God is generous. Truly, it's not a preacher's talk. It's true. Across the body of Christ, seasons are shifting. Across families, seasons are shifting. You see, God is not careless about the system that he puts in place. You only need to be sensitive to know that God is shifting people from one dimension to the other. God is turning Sauls to Paul. God is turning all kinds of things, bringing glory out of ashes. This is why this conference is a messy conference. The Bible says, "Thou shall arise." It's amazing that God needs to stand up to show mercy. Mercy is that serious. There are two reasons why he arises. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And now he says, arise. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Joshua Selman. For the time to favor him. Yea, the set time is come. Lord, arise. Don't sit down again. Arise. For the time. Show mercy. Because without your mercy, favor cannot come. It is your mercy that will birth the favor that I need for the season in my life. Therefore, thou shalt arise. And have mercy upon your Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. Lift your voice and turn this scripture into prayer. We are praying today. Please pray. Please pray. Lord, arise. Is there someone praying? Thou shall arise. Thou shall arise. Thou shall arise. Thou shall arise. Have mercy upon my family, upon my career, upon my spiritual life, for the time to favor me
the time to lift me, the time to honor me. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 6. Never forget this scripture for the rest of your life in the name of Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 12, please. And verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, "The Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your ancestors from the land of Egypt is a witness." Another version says it was God who advanced Moses and Aaron. It was God who advanced Moses. God bless you. It was the Lord that did what? Advanced Moses. It's God that pushes people forward. It takes more than intention and desire. Someone turn it into a prayer. Push me forward. Move me forward from this realm, from this dimension. Lift your voice, house of David. Lift your voice and pray. It was the Lord that caused Moses to advance. It was the Lord that caused Aaron to advance. Is someone praying? It was the Lord that caused Moses and Aaron to advance. Shela Parutas. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, move our lives. Take us to realms never imagined in the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a few minutes. Please don't be tired because we are going to be standing a lot this morning. We're wrapping up this conference and it's important that having heard the word, we pray it into reality. You see, sometimes it is dangerous to be exposed to truth and not use it. It would be better off that the information did not come, but that you have access to truth. You must sustain the grace. It says, "Now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them." Hallelujah. Psalm 103. I truly love David. We're going to read the first 17 verses, but the verse of emphasis is verse 1 to 5. But there is a reason why we will go that far. Praise the Lord. Because what we are reading is what God will do in the life of someone this morning. In the name of Jesus. Just keep the scripture there. But the scripture we read earlier said, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Why? Because if you do not show a man mercy, there are many things that cannot come. The Bible says favor itself is tied to the release of God's mercy. That when God's mercy is upon a man, then he can be a benefactor of his favor. And can I tell you sincerely, most of the things we need in life are favor dependent. It is true. It is true. I have a dear person in our ministry who would always say
that the favor and the blessings of God upon your life will increase your prayer life and reduce your prayer points, so that all you are left with is worship. You come to a point where the Bible says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. There is such a possibility in a man's life where you enjoy the goodness and the mercy of God all around. Spiritually, your influence, your finances, your health, your life, as a testimony, a portrait of what God can do with a man who he has lavishly shown his mercy upon. Are we together? So we see that mercy and favor are connected. You know, I knew when favor was not on my life. It was very clear. I was still a Christian. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But it was very evident that the favor of God was not upon my life. I'm telling you sincerely, and I mean no disrespect, you can handpick a man who has not experienced the mercy and the favor of God. It is clear. There are many indices to measure lack of favor. One of it is hardship. Another is stagnation. You can know that people are limited at the same level. You see them after 5 years and there's no difference between 5 years before and 5 years after. The only thing is that they are alive. The only thing growing is their age. Nothing else is growing in their life. The Bible says for such people, the Lord would remedy that situation by arising to show them mercy. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Why? Because the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. When God decides to invest his mercy upon a man and to expose that man to favor, be careful to not make any statement that is wrong, because you will live your lifetime burying your head in shame. When God decides to invest his mercy, his jealousy, and his favor upon a family, upon a career, brothers and sisters, you will see someone yesterday who will look like a failure, and by tomorrow you will not understand by what system he or she rose. This is the mystery behind the nonsense people say people come out of nowhere. I've said it again and again. There is nobody who comes out of nowhere. People are mercy made. People are favor made. Whilst you see people almost at the point of death, you do not know the negotiations that they are having with God. When God stamps his mercy upon their lives, everything responds to them. Everything responds to them. Good things will wait until they come there, as though other people are not there. Good things will be delayed unnecessarily until they are there. A great man who should bless because you are not there will not come. Delayed by God until you show up. You must meet good things. This is how you know that the favor of God is upon a man. And like Pastor Poju shared yesterday, very powerful. Listen, let me tell you. The Bible says, thanks be to God, the God of our Father, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In God's economy, nothing of value is physical. Please understand this. Nothing of value is physical. The reason is because physical things were framed from the earth and they are subject to depletion, delay, and exhaustion. Decay, I meant to say, corruption. Are we together? So if you are given a million naira, let's say a billion naira, something very realistic that will make you excited, you will think that because you know what to do with that money, there is a guarantee that you will be wealthy forever. The vicissitudes of life are so many. The Bible says you don't know which evil will come upon the earth. People have crashed from everything to nothing. And the people were not foolish. It took wisdom to build that far. And then they still crash down. So when God really wants to help a man, he does not give you things in your hand. He puts things on your head. Thou anointest my head with oil, but the proof is on my cup. He does not anoint your cup. I can know what is on your head by looking at what is in your cup. When God wants to help men, he does not give them money. When God wants to help men, he will place something upon them. Spiritual realities are real. Just because they are spiritual does not mean we are already used to, if I give you a billionaire's complimentary card and you have access to his private line, sometimes you'll be excited and you feel that you are at a point of advantage. There is no guarantee that having that card and that number means that you have his favor. But when something leaves heaven and comes upon your life, you see, sir, this is what has been studied by business schools, business people, and they notice that there were certain human beings who exhibited magnetic properties. They were human beings, but they worked as though they were metals, that they seemed to sustain a strange ability that attracts certain scenarios. And then they began to call people money magnets and all kinds of magnets. They are not lying. They are attempting to explain what happens to a man when the realm of the spirit signs upon your life God's mercy and God's favor. Bring a man who has no advantage in life, invest the mercy and the grace of God. You can wave him goodbye and tell him, see you at the top. You are not confessing. You will see what will happen. In the midst of his confusion, what is upon him will strangely, you don't pick metals one by one, you pass a magnet. They find their way up. It is laborious to start. You don't even know where they are. Are we together now? Thou shall arise and have mercy. Life is hard when the mercy of God is not upon a man. It doesn't matter what kind of advantage you have. The world is too wicked to isolate you and just be good to you for no reason. The selfishness and the biases in men. Remember our discussion on men. Someone will come and antagonize you on based on tribe, based on gender, based on age, based on the pain of your parents. Your father did something for me. Now is the time to get back at you. But not when his mercy is upon you. Thou shall arise. Please listen very carefully. And have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. I told you yesterday, and through the teachings, I'm sure you've learned now, that mercy is not something that only sinners need. The theology that we have received before now is that mercy is for fornicators and adulterers and smokers, etc. And so when you feel that I am none of these, you don't like the subject of mercy. We love favor. We love everything. But if I say, may God show you mercy, what have I done? What have I done wrong that he shows me mercy? If you say favor, aha, now I need that wisdom. Yes. But we do not know that the very key that opens up all those possibilities is the mercy of God. The Bible says it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. That means if he looks at us the way we are, his justice and his judgment will necessitate that we fail and perish. But that he only looks at us through the lens of his mercy. And when he looks at us through the lens of his mercy, he sees himself. And this becomes the basis of his dealing with us. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon a failure. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon one who had been ravaged by all kinds of demonic and diabolic things. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon a pastor. Thou shall arise and have mercy. You know, let me tell you something. The first time I came here, when you moved here, when I looked at this facility, and you know, a number of people have given me a little brief about this region and this area, and I saw this facility and I saw these things and I said, Kai, life, I don't know why men like suffering. We like hardship and we like suffering, whereas God has created a bailout system through humility. Did you know that it is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late?
it in the night. That is the testimony of many people. We wake up in the morning and think it is truly of the Lord's mercy. It is the Lord that showeth mercy. Get the teachings all through yesterday. There's no point going through them. Pastor Poju shared something very powerful. One of the proofs of mercy is that the eyes of your understanding, spiritual illumination, is granted unto you. Are we together? So that you will see. There is a grace that can make men see. It's the mercy of God. That you will see an oasis in a desert where no one is seeing. This is how that's why you see people rise to positions that when you are clapping for them, they feel guilty. Because in all honesty, they know that if you separate the mercy of God, it's not so much about their creativity. Yes, they participated. This is the disposition of the believer. So that when some are trusting in horses and chariots, we can come and say, well, I don't know how you got yours, but this estate, if I tell you I got this because I went to school, I'm lying. I was just passing and I saw rubbles. And God said, look again. And I saw an estate in the rubbles. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace.
Life was changed.
I will
never be the same. I touched your grace. My life was changed.
Look at the beautiful facility that God has given this church. One thing I know with your city is that space is gold. And when I see the parking facility and all of this, I just look and I say, this is the grace of God. Please make up your mind this year that you will cause suffering and hardship intentionally. Attack it and say, you have to live my life. There are people who move forward, but if you stop applying effort in the flesh, you will not move forward. That kind of life is difficult. You can't give God glory. That's why when people say it's God that gave you everything, you look at them and say, where was he when I was up in the night? God gave me what? Because it was in the strength of the flesh. But there are realms. See, there are times that God blesses your farm. But there are times the urgency requires bread directly from heaven. There's no time to plant and wait. The urgency requires bread. He can give both blessings upon your farm. But there are times the delay in your life before you farm and wait and reap, he can send it from heaven. They are called prepared blessings. God is not only the God who gives harvest to your grains. God can send manna from heaven. Because when life pushes you and time is all that we've had. A man of 60 years, when are you going to start teaching him the principles of finances? You know how hard it is to learn that thing? And now the guy struggles for another 10 years and just when he's done learning, he's about to die. There has to be a way. And God will visit someone and say, bless this man. Give him a house. Give him a car. It's my instruction. And you see an old man standing in front of a car that he wants to run away from. And they say, it's yours. It is the hand of God. We hardly hear these kinds of testimonies again. The reason is because we are intelligent in ourselves. And so you hardly hear people now say, God said, do this. Because of our strength. And by the arm of flesh shall no man prevail. Please hear me. We are mercy made. We are made by his favor. It is true. The same is true in business. The same is true in ministry. The same is true in our work with God. I gave you an example yesterday that someone can be under a bridge, destroying his life with liquor and all of that. And suddenly God appears to that person. He was not praying. In fact, did you know that Cain's conversation with God, it was the blood of Abel that called God. It was not even Cain who called God. And when God was speaking to him, he would have said, Lord, thank you. You have visited me. And he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, you can keep talking. You don't disturb me. A man is having a visitation from God that we so covet. And he's trivializing it. And God is not angry to leave the man. Then God curses the man and he renegotiates things and says, God, this is too much. Let's discuss. Put a mark. This is too much. Even in your judgment, I know you are merciful. Will you give me what is greater than me? Hezekiah was given a death sentence by a true prophet. Chapter 38 of Isaiah. Put your house together, you will not survive from that sickness. And Hezekiah said, prophet, God bless you. I know you are a man. You are an obedient man. You go. I know a merciful God. And he turned his face to the wall and said, oh God, remember. He renegotiated his life. Men appointed to death can cancel that verdict. The mercy of God is powerful. Without the mercy of God, life will treat you as you deserve. And let me tell you, what we deserve from this life is nothing but misery and catastrophe. The depravity of our hearts, the reality and the fragility of our humanity continue to program wars, whether we are good or not. It takes the mercy of God to edit the seeds we have sown and stop some harvests from happening. If every seed that we have sown grows to become a tree, that tree will kill us. Some of us will not survive 1 year, but it is of the Lord's mercy. Are we together? When the mercy of God comes to you, certain things begin to happen immediately in your life. We're going to look at them briefly and then we'll pray. The mercy, the favor, the mercy, the favor, the mercy of God isolating you out and dealing with you in a way and manner that you do not deserve, because he's aware of certain things about you. The mercy of God is not an excuse for carelessness. The mercy of God is his remedy for your humanity. I want to drum this again and again. The mercy of God is proof that he loves us. He understands our frame, as we'll be reading shortly. He knows that we are dust. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. I'll read and then we'll get to a place where we invite you to join me. Are we ready? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We are reading to verse 17. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not his benefits. So, these are the fruits of mercy, the benefits of God upon a man's life. 1, verse 3. Who forgiveth, how many? All thine iniquities. Please stop there. The Bible didn't say who forgives your sin. I told you that iniquity is a revelation of a state of your heart, executed or not. Are we together now? It says, if I hide iniquity in my heart, the psalmist said, the Lord would not have heard me. It is only what you have done that we can see, that we can talk about. The ones that are there being programmed for decades to come, the Lord himself can look upon you with mercy and forgive even the state of your heart. Who forgiveth thine iniquities? And then number 2, who healed all? How many? Please look up. Who healed? Like Pastor was sharing, it's not enough to be aware of the power, the might of God. That is his ability. But is he willing? The mercy of God is an expression of his willingness to reach out to you. Who healed all thy diseases? Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Deliverance is a sign of the mercy of God. Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? 5. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Please keep that scripture. Verse 5. There is a relationship between the renewal of your youth and the satisfaction of your mouth. Are we together now? That means there is something hunger can do to your frame. Please look up. The Bible says he satisfies your mouth with good things, and the effect is that it will make your youth renewed like an eagle. That means there's a level of lack and suffering and hardship that can wrinkle you to become decades older than you truly are. He says, satisfy us early with your mercy. A man can be helped by God marvelously, marvelously helped by God, and your youth is renewed like that of an eagle. The advantage of the eagle is that it can rise as you have learned, and it can, you know, defeather itself and wait for brand new feathers to rise again. So you always see it looking fresh and agile. 6. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Read on, please. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Is someone seeing it there? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression. Transgression is not necessarily sin. Transgression is a violation of God's patterns, a violation of God's ordinances. You may be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but you are not a faithful tither. You don't give, you don't have seeds, meaning a harvest should not come. That's transgression. A deviation from his patterns. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. 4 more verses and we're done. For he knoweth our frame. Look at this. This is the motivation behind the things that he does. He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. 16. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, hallelujah. The mercy of the Lord is not for 1 year. The mercy of the Lord is not for 2 years. If the mercy of the Lord ended a year before you were born, you are in trouble. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness upon children's children. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible even says that they are new every morning. Very powerful. New, renewed every morning. His insistence to see that we can access his benevolence and become all that he's designed us to be. His mercy is a powerful prayer that you need to pray all the time. Look upon me, O God, from the lens of your mercy. Look upon me. Look above and beyond my limitations. Look above and beyond my foolishness. Look above and beyond my humanity. Look above and beyond my efforts. In your mercy, treat me as one who has obtained mercy. And you will marvel and wonder, people of God. You will see results and you will see harvest of seeds you did not remember sowing, because someone sowed it for you. He looked at you and suspected you may forget and sowed it for you. Job would discern that peradventure his children would sin, and in advance he would offer sacrifices for them. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Show me mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy upon my business. When you begin to see these things happen, listen, did you know that two people can commit the same crime in an office, right? And the law or the policy can be to dismiss them. But one person would know how to access the mercy of God, and he will go back and cry Psalm 51 and say, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. Show me mercy. And whilst the director or the boss is sleeping, he can have a dream and see the face of only one person. Show him mercy. And get up in the morning and call two of you and say, you are gone. You wait. Did you know that both the wine presser and the baker committed? It was the same crime that brought them there. Are we together now? And two of them had dreams. As far as we know, the dreams did not come from the devil. All their dreams had 3 days. Their dreams had several things. Joseph now interprets, in 3 days, you'd be restored back to the king. And the other one said, I dreamt too. And in this dream, I saw 3 baskets. And he said, the meaning of your own dream is that in 3 days, they will call you like you have desired. But that call is to hang you and the birds will eat your flesh. And it happened like that. The mercy of God. 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 I believe in His mercy. I'm a product of His mercy. I have seen His favor. When we sing these songs, we sing it because of what He has done. Did you know that I listen to myself, Pastor? Sometimes when I listen to myself, I'm wondering, who is this guy preaching? And I'm listening to myself. And I hear things that I said, and I said, my God, can you imagine this? And I'm wondering where that inspiration came from. And sometimes I just go on my knees and say, Lord, I fear you. You do things in my life that make you fear you again and again. I testify that your goodness is real. I'm here today to testify that your goodness is real. Your goodness is real. I testify your goodness is real. Your mercies are real. I testify. I testify that your goodness is real. I testify your goodness is real. Say your goodness is real.
I testify your goodness is real.
Your favor is real.
Your favor is real. I testify your favor is real.
Listen. You can get to a point with God where in 24 hours, if you are not favored, you will go for a retreat because you know it's an attack. You would have gotten to the realm where He daily loads you, not weekly, not monthly. Please hear what I'm telling you. This man talking to you is not talking nonsense. Find a way of believing what I'm telling you. You can get to a point where the gap between one favor and another is maximum 24 hours. That if in 24 hours nothing good comes, you can see it as a sign of attack, because God has so brought the light of His mercy and favor. You become Beulah and Hephzibah, the delight of people. When someone has excess money and wants to bless people, your face comes immediately, as though he does not have relatives. He now begins to think about you. Men can forget. They don't remember on their own. There is a grace for remembrance. There is a grace that makes men to remember men. And God brings you into a realm of prepared blessings. Do you know why? Pastor also shared it yesterday. Because there is a purpose assigned to our destinies. And some of these things that need to be in place, if we do not route them through the mercy and the favor of God, they will distract you. And your whole life will be lived getting them instead of having them and using them for the purpose assigned. I give you an instance. If God has called and ordained you to be a kingdom financier, that means there must be a time allocated in His economy where you should have conquered finances, so that now, at that point, from that point of victory, you can now start hearing Him. Send this to household of David. Send this to this place. Send this to this mission. That's your assignment. Your assignment is not to make money. Being wealthy now has qualified you to be faithful in your assignment. But the devil can abort that assignment, not by stopping you from the knowledge of it, but by delaying you so that the day you make your first 1 billion, you are 75 years. It's no longer a testimony. So he says, satisfy me early. There is timing to my life. Satisfy me early. Lord, you have called me to be a man of God. I should not begin to feed and bless the nations when I'm 60. I got born again at 17. What was I doing that far? 18 years was enough for Jesus to be ready for ministry. 12 plus 18, 30 on the dot, and he was ready. In 3 years, he conquered the whole earth. Do you know there is a spirit of lateness in Africa? Look up, please. We are going to pray this morning. There is a wicked spirit of lateness in Africa where it almost looks like a cost to do things fast, to get things fast. If you build your house at 22, people suspect you are a drug baron. They say, when did this... In as much as we must appreciate the fact that true success takes time, it's a product of understanding, track record, mentorship, etc. What then is the advantage of the Holy Spirit and these systems in the kingdom? Not everybody is a fraudster. They are just systems of advantage that we can tap into. Prepared blessings. When the devil wants to frustrate you, every other thing increases except your salary. And you are there angry and looking at yourself, talking to yourself. You don't even know when evening has come. This is what is happening to people. You see people talking to themselves. You think they are on a phone, but they are angry. They are talking to themselves till they get sick. Young people now having high blood pressure. You see a man of 70 and a young boy of 21. Two of them are receiving the same drug for BP. Why should it be so? A merry heart doeth good like medicine. But the Bible says a broken spirit can dry up the bones. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be complete. There is a dimension of joy that is dependent on your receiving. There are things, if you do not receive, your joy will not be complete. Hallelujah. If I ask all of us now, in the name of honesty, to write 3 things we want God to do for us and drop it now. If we have the opportunity to x-ray this for many people, the problems are not the... You can compartmentalize the problem. It would not be more than 5 or 6 areas. Usually one will be finances. Am I right? Second will be maybe family problems. 3 can be health. 4 spiritual problems and all of that. Lord, I don't know why I'm not hearing you. I don't know why I'm up today, down tomorrow. And then finally, all other, maybe others. We'll call it others. But that's really the classification. These things are distracting. It takes the mercy of God to help you settle certain things on time, so you can now lift up your eyes and say, Lord, why was I born? Why am I here? Lo, I come, he says, in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do your will, not to guess my way, not to try my life. There are many people today who are completely outside of the will of God. There are prophets today loitering the streets of Lagos looking for money because ends must be met. Jacob could not live out the fullness of his prophetic ministry until the final days of his life. Satisfy me early with your mercy. Lord, let me build the house early so that it will take away that distraction. Open up doors for me to know I can settle my children's school fees till PhD if need be, so that I can focus on you. Why will I spend time praying and 90% of the time is petition? Where then is the time to know you? When you open your Bible, you are searching for promises. Promises all through. And it's wonderful. Where I have to search for a way to tie the hand of God to force this thing to come. There is a realm where God can satisfy a man. I had the privilege to pray for someone, and a husband and a wife, very blessed people, they love the Lord. And I told them, I said, I love to pray for people. Do you have any prayer requests? And in all honesty, I don't get to see that many times. They looked at themselves and sincerely in truth, they didn't have any prayer request. They just knelt down and said, we just want to know the Lord more. I said, this is it. This is exactly the kind of thing we are talking about. I just want to know the Lord. Know him more. Why? Because there is a roof over my head. Why? Because God has been faithful. Why? Because the school fees of my children can be settled. The matters that pertain unto life and godliness have been sorted out. Now I can focus. God can speak to me and I can hear him. Your goodness is real. I testify. Your goodness is real. Your favor is real. I testify. Your goodness is real.
I testify. Your goodness is real.
Hallelujah. There are many people who are trusting God for different levels of establishment, especially with the younger ones. We are trusting God for all kinds of things. And let me tell you, I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but it is true. Life outside of these spiritual systems of advantage is hard and almost impossible. An average young graduate, you stand before a property and you ask, how much is this? And they mention an amount that to you, you receive it as an evil report. Are we together? You laugh at what he said because you laugh at yourself and say, let me just find my way and go away, because I know that there is almost no hope of this kind of thing. God who picks a man from the dunghill and will set him to sit among princes. Where is that God? I testify that your mercies are real. I testify. Your goodness is real.
I testify. Your goodness is real.
Listen, there are many things in God's system that you were not supposed to do for yourself and by yourself. There is an advantage. It's not a call to be lazy. But please believe me. We will be able to focus on advancing the kingdom of God and his purposes when certain things are in place. The demon that is destroying people right now is this finance. People talk about money in their sleep. They talk about money when they wake up. They are discussing with you and the next thing they veered off talking about. They didn't even know when they stopped talking about. You are talking about your relatives. How is my mother? How is my father? And the next thing the person is talking about how to pay a loan he collected. And he said, we are discussing family. The stress. I'm not just trying to make you feel bad. These are real issues. Conferences like this are designed. You heard what your pastor said, that after this conference, it should not be, a member will not be effective if you have to stay and have a meeting till 10 o'clock and you know there is school fees, 400,000, 500,000. You have twins for starters. Remember, the grace came from here. They prophesied. Speed. Now two children are here and you have to pay at once. You regret every time you see them. This is what happens in our society. The living condition of people is as though the work of the cross were a lie. And let me tell you something. Life is in phases, but there are phases you have passed. And we must find a way of admitting it and forcing ourselves out of a lot of nonsense. The lifetime of a process is not forever. A time comes in your life where not having a car is no longer the needs of your life will squeeze and strangle you. Am I making sense to you? Because we are going to pray. Satisfy me early. Show me your mercy. Satisfy me early. In Africa, if you are blessed alone, you are still in trouble. An average family has between 4 to 15 people who refuse to rise when they see you rising. They just keep cheering you and say, there's no point rising since you are there. I mean, you just continue. And they blackmail you by saying, we prayed for you. And expect returns forever. So if all you have is enough for you, you are still in trouble. It was because it was only Joseph that dreamt alone that he was in trouble. If all the brothers had dreams, they would discuss their dreams together. In Africa, when you prosper, you are not saved. You must prosper in a way that you factor the problems that can come and prosper to the point that your prosperity can still solve them. That point, you have entered your Sabbath. I vowed a vow, and I say it with all humility. I vowed a vow to God that I will never serve and worship mammon. This money thing. That resources will serve me while I serve His Majesty. This is it. But life will squeeze you to a point where all you think about is money. And the Bible says where your treasure is. And you know, sometimes we act as if these things are not important. In all, we have to be very honest with ourselves. It is very important. Money is not everything. But it's amazing, man, how many things will go wrong in your life when resources are not there. It takes money to buy a Bible. It takes money to buy tapes. It takes money to create the atmosphere where the Holy Ghost can come. Because the visitation of God is atmosphere dependent. He will not come carelessly. You must pay the price to create the atmosphere that can host Him. And in the name of Jesus, God is changing somebody's life. Hallelujah. We are going to pray shortly. I would steal out a few minutes. I believe it was in my heart yesterday. We are going to pray. There are people whose sins by the grace of God will be forgiven. There are people whose bodies are infirmities that have to leave today. There are situations in our lives that must go. Otherwise, I mean, we have spent days discussing the possibilities of the mercy of God. If we do not experience it, then we call God a liar. I cast my crown before the highest royalty. I am undone before your glorious majesty. I cast my crown before the highest royalty. I am undone before your glorious majesty. I told you yesterday that the mercy of God does not just come upon people because they need it. There is a position. Please listen. The grace of God does not come on strong people. When the grace of God is released, it looks for weakness. If it does not find weakness, it leaves. It says, my strength is perfected in your weakness. So when you cast your crown before Him, the song we're singing now, it's a declaration of your need for Him. That you're saying, Lord, I've exhausted my intelligence. I acknowledge that I am educated. I acknowledge that I'm connected to powers that be. But I also recognize that if you do not help a man, he cannot be helped. And Uzziah prospered because he was marvelously helped. Marvelously helped. Marvelously helped. Show me the money that entered your account from your salary as salary, and show me the one that entered as mercy. Can you distinguish them? Everything in your account, is it a testimony of what you worked for? Or is there an advantage? Do you know the difference? Show me revelations that just came to you while you were lying down on your bed. You were not asking God for anything. His mercy just came. And that became a series that blessed and lifted people. I will be lying if I tell you every dimension of grace in my life was something I intentionally pursued. There are dimensions I don't know how they came. All I know is that the God of heaven who shows men mercy showed me mercy. Hallelujah. There are dimensions of anointing and grace. My brothers and my sisters, please listen to me. When God's mercy finds you, you will join the world to stand in awe and say, what is this? If it is the Lord doing, it must be marvelous. 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 When last did a man look at your life and say, what type of a man is this? They looked at Paul and Barnabas. They called them Zeus and Hermes. We are too common to give God glory. Our lives are too common to give God glory. Our testimonies are too general. That's why people say, is he really God? Or are you just saying it because you're a Christian? There are things that you say that people say, this one, it has to be God. This one, it has to be God. And so today we are going to pray and cry that the God of heaven would look upon us with mercy. Lord, turn my life into a sign and a wonder. Turn my life into an oasis of testimonies. Let things so shift, so change in my life. So shift, so change in my life. Lift your voice while you are seated. Pray that prayer. We are going to stand up shortly, but I want you to pray it while you are seated. Cry to the Lord of heaven. It's time to change my life, oh God. It's time to change my life, oh God. I come before you broken. I come before you desiring your mercy. I acknowledge that my strength can fail me spiritually, financially, career-wise. I'm a businessman, but your grace is yet to speak in my life. I'm a businessman, but your mercy is yet to speak in my life. I'm a pastor, and it's as if I'm not even born again. There is no demand on the grace that is upon my life. Pray. You are wrapping the conference with a prayer and in